Well, good morning and welcome once again to Firm Foundation Christian Church. Our scripture text is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 54 and verse 5. For your maker is your husband, the Lord of hosts is his name, and your redeemer is the Holy One of Israel. He is called the God of the whole earth. Now, God is called by a great many names and titles in the Bible, and these names describe his attributes, his character, and/or specific aspects of his work. Now, we've got five titles given here for the purpose in context of reassuring Israel and for the continuing purpose of reassuring those who are believers in God and His Christ of all ages. Truly, the Lord shall ever be active on behalf of His people. Now this morning, we shall consider the five titles or names ascribed to God as we find them in our text. First, God is called Maker. Second, God is called Lord of Hosts. Third, God is called Redeemer. Fourth, God is called Holy One of Israel. And fifth, God is called God of the whole earth. God is called Maker. In the book of Genesis, we read, "Then God said, let us," interesting the plural there, "let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. God created man and God created woman. He only created two kinds, two distinct genders. And indeed, when he was finished, he looked upon his creation and he declared it very good. God did not make any mistake in making men in general. Neither did he make a mistake in making you in particular, just the way you are. He did not create an amoeba and then wind up the clock or the hourglass to see what may evolve. Everything was fully formed, created according to its kind. Now, I love monkeys. I like to go to Roger Williams Park Zoo and see all the monkeys flying around and observing the fact that they are much more intelligent than I am in a lot of levels. But the Bible tells me that I did not come from one. It took 1,800 years for someone to get that crazy idea. And who believes it? Only those who are against God and don't want to be accountable to the Maker. As Maker, you see, God exercises dominion and has authority over all which He has made, over all of His created beings, and that includes us. Why has God made you? There must be a purpose. Before God formed you in the womb, He had a purpose for you. We read in the book of the prophet Jeremiah, For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord. Thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. If you're sitting here today saying, I don't have a future worth looking towards, I don't have a hope worth hanging on to, that's not God giving you that garbage. That's the enemy. And then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Now, since the world began, there was never a man, woman, or child who sought for the maker of all the universe with all of his or her heart and did not find him. God's purpose is that you seek him, that you find him, that you come to a relationship with him through his Son, Jesus Christ, and that through his Spirit, you will find the strength and the wisdom to walk in all of his paths and enjoy his full fellowship. God is called Lord of Hosts. Now, whenever we find that word Lord in our Bibles, in all capital letters, we've got Yahweh. We've got the personal name for God in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, in these last days, God has revealed himself through his Son, Jesus Christ. But in the Old Testament, his most personal relationship to man is found through that word. The hosts are the armies. And so, the full name or title of God, as presented here in Isaiah chapter 54 in the 5th verse, is the Lord of Hosts, or the Lord of the Armies. He is the Lord of the Armies. He is the 5-star general personally leading the charge against the spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Note, neither you nor some other man is leading that charge against those spiritual hosts. God is. And if and when you try to do it alone, you will find yourself powerless. Take note. The adversary of God, the enemy of our souls, pressed hard and continues to press hard against him, that we might be consigned to eternal sin and separation from God. Such things are not appointed for you. Did God not say that he has appointed you for a future and a hope? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our Maker has been slain in battle, only to rise up again the third day as the decisive victor of the greatest battle ever fought. And you know what we call it? It's the battle of all souls. Now, if God will fight such a great battle for us, If God has fought such a great battle for you, will He not also fight our small battles as we go through our lives as enlisted men and women dependent upon God for our weapons of warfare? Just as when a man joins the army infantry, he is issued particular weapons for the purposes of attack and defense, so too does the Lord of the armies issue spiritual weapons for us, that we might fight life's battles. You may be familiar with these. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. The third name or title of God that we have in our scripture text is Redeemer. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Every blessing in the heavenly places. None withheld. Just as He chose us in Him when, before the foundation of the world. Why? That we should be holy and without blame before Him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the good pleasure of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, by which He made us accepted in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. Therefore, friend, though you have messed up a lot in your life, as I have, we do not need to live in guilt. We do not need to live in shame. Our Redeemer, God Himself, has secured the forgiveness of sins. And if God has forgiven all of your sins, be they great or small, then they are forgiven. Moreover, forgotten. Who then is any man? Who then are you to take the place of God and retain them? The strength of sin is the law, but the divine grace has overpowered the strength of sin. The Lord is our Maker, and yet each of us has turned aside from Him. We have sold ourselves at the slave market of sin, yet we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. This was God's required ransom price, and Jesus was willing and did pay it. Now God has handed each of us a ticket to heaven, and it's marked paid in full. All that is up to you to do is to redeem your ticket. Not by blood, but by faith in the living Christ, the Son of God. The fourth title of God in our text this morning is Holy One of Israel. Here, the stress is placed upon God's attribute of perfect holiness. To be holy is to be set apart for a sacred purpose. This means we worship God and Him alone. This is the first of the Ten Commandments. You shall have no other gods before me. Not your God of money, not your God of career, not your God of sports, not your God of pride, not your God of your own good deeds. Let us put Jesus first, and everything else will fall into place. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope. There's that word hope again that God's given us. Fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, not conforming yourselves to your former lust as in your ignorance. But as He who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. In other words, God answers one who says, well, why should I be holy? Why do I have to live a moral life to the best of my ability? And God answers, because I said so. Sound familiar? And if we obey our earthly parents when they say, because I said so, grudgingly, let us, having learned from the wisdom of our grudging obedience, that when the divine God says, I said so, that it is surely for our best interest. And so, God is maker, and therefore has rightful ownership of all He has made. He is Lord of hosts, and He personally fights your spiritual battles with you, day by day. He is Redeemer, and He has demonstrated His love for you at the cross. He is the Holy One of Israel, and He is worthy of worship and imitation and conduct. Finally, He is called God of the whole earth. I love this one. He's the sovereign God. Nothing or no one is beyond His reach. Not even you. There may have been a day, Christian friend, where you thought that you were beyond the reach of God. And yet, God came and got you. Now, it may be that there's someone here today who thinks that they're beyond the reach of God. Maybe they've lived too many years without Him. Or they're stuck in some sinful lifestyle pattern, whatever that may be. That they can't break. And they're right, they can't break it without God's help. But know this, God is called the God of the whole earth. And if it's His desire to find you, He will find you. And when you're at your bottom, and your vision is blurred, and though you are barely able to ascertain what might be in front of you, if you see that hand with the nail print, take it. No one is beyond the reach of God. Not even you. And He's reaching out to you today. So let us pray. And in this manner, let us pray to our Father in heaven. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Thank you, Lord, for your word and the way that you have revealed yourself through so many ways, through your perfect attributes. And Lord God, we thank you that you have taken the time and expended the energy and the blood to reach out your hand to each and every one of us. What is man that you would be mindful of us? And yet, you are. Lord, if there are any here who are ready right now to come to terms with you, the Maker and Redeemer, may such a one be found praying after this manner. Lord God, I've tried my own way. I've tried the world. I've tried self-help. And now I'm ready to try your way. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He is Lord, that He is Savior, that He Himself is God, that He died for me, and that He rose again, and that He loves me, and that He wants to have a relationship with me. And I'm ready to take that step. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.